it's Liz. Welcome to Redemption Story Ministries podcast. I pray this conversation blesses you, increases your faith, and you feel led to share it with a friend who needs some encouragement. Always remember, God loves you. Today, I am joined by Amanda, and we are discussing resting in God. The Bible emphasizes rest as a blessing and a necessity, both physically and spiritually. It is a gift from God that many of us neglect to cultivate. God himself rested on the Sabbath, and the Bible gives us the promise of finding rest in him. Exodus 20, 8 through 11 says, "Remember the Sabbath, the seventh day, to keep it holy, which is set apart and dedicated to God. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day you shall not do any work." So that's Old Testament, and this was part of the covenant that God had with the Jews, and many Jewish families still adhere to Sabbath and Shabbat. However, through the blood of Jesus, we have a new covenant with God and can rest in Jesus. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus invites those who are weary and burdened to come to him and find rest, offering a gentle and humble yoke. Amanda, I know that when we've talked about personally trying to bring a Sabbath into our lives, you touched on, while you were growing up, the value, or that value was given to you upon accomplishing a certain amount of things or a certain thing. And I was hoping you can kind of touch on that a little more.
Yeah, I think like my mom and I have actually had this conversation a lot, because it's something that we had to acknowledge that this was actually like a generational thing. Yeah. And oftentimes we talk about generational curses, if you will, of like addiction and different aspects of, I don't even know, like adultery and all the things. But for us, one of those things is finding our worth in the accomplishments. Yeah. So when you look at my family, there's a bunch of like, it started off with farmers, right? So like they had to have that strong work ethic to do the tasks they needed to do. But then when it came down to the actual, like where their value was placed and what that looked like, you can see in like my aunts and uncles that like their value was very much for most of them placed in their work. Yeah. And actually three of my aunts, or two of my aunts and my mom will tell you that the value being in their work actually impacted their marriages and their children growing up as well. And so through that conversation, it was that realization of what is that when the Lord's calling us to rest, he's calling us to rest spiritually, right? Like in him abiding. But there is that aspect where I think a lot of times in the New Testament, we throw away the Sabbath, just like we do, like often people try to do with the tithe, right? Of like, oh, that was fulfilled. And so we're like, we don't need that anymore. But I personally started diving in, and we did as a church, even for our leadership team, which I think is when we started talking about this a lot. But diving into like the rhythms of Jesus and what that looked like. And if he, who is all man, all God, if he had to rest, then why shouldn't we? And the thing that was really cool for me, and I believe what you're talking about in regards to like the accomplishment aspect, was I began to realize the more I rested, the more I accomplished. It's the upside down kingdom that we talk about a lot, where it's not the way the world sees it. It's not the way that the world explains it. It doesn't make sense to the world because it's supernatural. And the more like on a Sunday afternoon, I had gotten home and I was really, there were so many things that I needed to get done. And I knew though that I was being led to rest. I needed to lay down and take a nap, even for an hour. And when I woke back up, I got more accomplished in honestly probably a third of the time as what it would have taken me if I tried to push through in my own strength, because that's really what it looks like. Resting, I think when you break it down, it's a matter of striving versus being spirit led.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I think for me, when I started, we do it on Friday afternoons. And for me, it was removing myself from electronics putting my phone on do not disturb, no TVs, no tablets, and having fun with my family, right? That's what my body needed to do for rest. That's what they needed to recharge.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this realization as the kids were playing hide and seek and I was counting and I found myself starting to like straighten up the kitchen while I was counting. And I realized there will always be something to do. Mm-hmm. Whether I get it done right now or whether I actually really enjoy this moment and rest with my children, there's always going to be a list. And I found myself, you know, even before I started taking this Friday afternoon to rest, me and my husband would settle down in the evenings and watch a show together. And I would be folding laundry while I was watching the show, being mad at him for not helping me fold laundry because he was fully resting and enjoying the show. Right?
I've totally been there. If you're a wife or a husband listening to this and you haven't been,
I mean, this
bless
is
you.
Real. I mean, this is real. This is real life.
It's so true.
And like the Lord was like revealed to me, he's like, he's resting, right? This laundry will still be here tomorrow, right? And it is not going to kill you to sit down and actually like get into a rhythmic breathing with your husband and relax.
Well, and the reality for me was it, because I've had the same exact moment and the Lord's like pointing at my heart and he's like, what's the issue? Like, are you actually mad at him or is it it's envy?
Yeah.
And it came down to, I was envious.
Yes, that he could relax.
He could sit down and not look at the house and the million things that needed to be done. And I struggled with that. It took me a long time. And in our house growing up, it was always this, like you said, there's always something to be done. But it was, once I get these things done, then I can
rest.
But when you're a mom and you have children, it's never ending. I can always find something to do. And so I also had to realize, because quite frankly, having my house in order can also triumph my time with the Lord if I'm not careful.
Oh, for sure.
And I got into that habit of where I'd be like getting up in the morning and like everything needs to be. And before I know it, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon and I've spent zero time with him and my day's gotten away from me. And that's something he also started to reveal to me of like, you're not even spiritually resting with me, let alone like physically resting. Yeah. And that there's importance in that. And I think it's really interesting how you hit on the fact that in order to have fun, it requires rest.
Yeah. And intentionality.
Right. Because resting, I think sometimes, especially as Christians, and I was actually just listening to a class on this where they were talking about how we can over-spiritualize everything.
Yeah.
And I've kind of gotten irritated with that in the past where I'm, because I know we're spirit first, right? So how do you over-spiritualize something that is first spiritual? And she said, we're human.
Yeah.
And we have to get it out of our minds that like our humanity is something to like run from because God created us that way.
Yeah.
And it's not a matter of shaming ourselves for certain aspects of, I think for me, it was, well, I shouldn't need to rest.
Right.
I should be able to. And so I started shaming and condemning myself.
Well, for me, it's, I was lazy.
Correct.
If I was resting.
That word.
Right?
Yep.
And I think that comes from childhood.
For sure.
Where if things were being done and I wasn't participating to get them done, I was being lazy. Right? So now it's very hard for me to enjoy resting when I know there are things to be done because in the back of my head.
Correct.
That's what that
totally.
Enemy,
we're being honest. That's absolutely. Absolutely. And again, just like we've talked about in the fact of the actual resting being generational for us, both of us, I know you can attest to this, I'm sure, but I have to be careful to not put that mentality on my kids.
Yes.
And so then I had to, then it became me resting is actually breaking generational strongholds
right. In
so many capacities. Not only is it the identity, like we had talked about with my family, but also that my kids don't carry that with them. Right. So if I want my kids to shift their mindset and their perspective and resting in Jesus, it has to start with me.
And having self-worth that doesn't revolve around what you're accomplishing.
Yes, right? Exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, full disclosure, I'm, my husband is dealing with that right now.
Yeah.
In Same. Identifying what his purpose is without a profession, right? Because that's who he identifies himself as. And that he needs to see himself as a child of God first, right?
I feel like the joy of the Lord is all over this.
Yeah.
And it's so crazy because it doesn't make sense.
No.
But I'm sitting here of like, Liz and I are both in the same exact boat.
Yeah.
Both of our husbands have been unemployed. Both of them, if you had asked them a year ago who they were, they both would have claimed their employment.
Yeah.
And that was their identity. Correct. And now it's that joy of watching. I don't enjoy them going through
the struggle.
Right. No, don't.
But the testimony is going to be awesome.
Yes, exactly. And watching the Lord reorder their priorities,
right.
Reorder their identity,
correct.
Reorder what they're rooted in, like the lies that are being uprooted in the midst of this. Like, it goes back to the count it all joy for me of like the trials and tribulations,
Amen.
Because you are producing faith.
Amen.
Like that is, he's changing the character. And so we've walked our own walks of what that looks like, and we're still walking that. But to be able to witness that from the perspective of your husband and them standing against the world right now, because the world would tell them that they're being lazy, that they're being irresponsible, that all of these things. But the reality is they're being obedient.
And I think we're so different than the world.
Yeah.
Because we've had a conversation that both of us told our husbands, don't you dare go jump at an opportunity to go bring home a paycheck if you didn't consult the Lord, right? And the Lord has called them to a moment of rest.
Yeah.
And that's not being lazy. That's reprioritizing and getting ready for what's next.
Yeah. Right? And I can tell you, my husband and I had a conversation in regards to the word lazy.
Yeah.
And that was a wrestle that he had to overcome because there were so many things. I mean, yeah, there's so many things that the world would throw at you in trying to create that persona, if you will, around the fact that he does not currently have a job.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong. Like, I don't agree with just riding things out and like
or abusing the system
and doing it for the wrong reasons. But if God has called you to something, that is your number one obligation, is to being led by his voice, to be spirit led and to do what he's called you to do. And like you said, it's that, don't you dare. We're not doing this because we're jumping at opportunities. We're doing it because we know that the Lord is moving and he's doing something in this. And this is a preparation season for what's coming. I know both of us feel that. There's so much on the other side of this that we're excited about. But that was a rabbit trail. I didn't.
Yeah, little tangent, little rabbit hole.
Clearly somebody needed to hear it.
You know, and when we talk about even nature, rest is needed to produce fruit. Right. Fruit trees go through depending on where you live, either fall or winter, where they're not producing fruit. In John 15:4, the word says, remain in me and I will remain in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit by itself without remaining in the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So a period of rest is needed in the natural and the spiritual, and that rest comes from having a relationship with Jesus, to be able to abide in God, to rest in him so that you can produce fruit. And the fruit is evident in your life. You know, the busyness is not fruitful. I'm going to repeat that. Being busy does not mean you are fruitful. And I think, you know, a lot of people get caught up on how many things they checked off their list today to say that they're productive or not. The fruit of your life, people will be able to see very clearly, and it has nothing to do with how much you ran around that day.
Yeah, I personally have really battled with this. I am currently a stay-at-home mom who homeschools all three of my children, and I also work part-time, but all of that is done behind closed doors, outside of, like, obviously whatever interactions we may have. But from someone who became, I was very, like, people-oriented, but also very driven by other people's affirmations of me for so long, that doing the things and serving my family in a space that was not seen, not even by my husband most of the time because he was away at work or what have you, I really had to learn to be rooted and abiding in the Lord for my worth, and to know that that fruit is seen by him. Even if, and it is seen by other people through my children and in other aspects of my life. But I think so often, like you were saying, that checklist, I could go make a checklist of what my day looks like, but I can tell you some of the most fruitful moments have been not looking at the checklist and sitting with my kids and having organic conversations about whatever was coming up in that moment, and watching the Lord affirm that we were doing exactly what we were called to do and we were exactly where we needed to be and that he saw us. And that's learning that that's really the end goal. It's not the accolades that we're going to gain in the world. And Amen. It's truly, like, actually the Bible says that those who receive rewards on earth will not receive those rewards in heaven. Right. It's the unseen things that we do that are serving him with the right heart posture that we're rewarded for. And that's, again, another paradigm to the kingdom, because it looks different.
The upside down kingdom. Yeah,
than what the world.
C.S. Lewis wrote this book. It's called The Screwtape Letters. And it's this fascinating story where a senior devil named Screwtape is writing to his nephew Wormwood, a younger, less experienced devil who is tasked with corrupting a human soul. And Screwtape's advice is pertinent to our conversation today, because to lead the person away from Christianity, he advises Wormwood to distract the human. Mm-hmm. And he says, don't care that the person is saved. He just doesn't want the person getting other people saved. Yeah. He wants the person tired and busy and distracted from their true purpose. And the devil knows how easily we're distracted by things of the world. And those distractions prevent us from hearing and communicating with God. And this even can touch upon, like, how busy we are with church, mm-hmm. right? And you can tell yourself you're doing all the right things, but if you are so busy doing church things and ministries that you are not resting in the Father and hearing from the Lord, then you're truly doing it in vain, and it's a religious spirit.
Yeah. One of the things that I was really convicted of a few years ago, I was doing dishes one day, and I heard the Lord so clearly say to me, placing me as the Lord in your life as number one is not the same as doing for the church. And I was like, it kind of threw me back for a second, but there was such a shift for me in that, because I was leaving behind, like, house chores and things with my, like, spending time with my husband and all these things to, like, be at the church, do, like, be at every event. Like, and I'm not saying there's a time in your life where being surrounded and being fed is very important, especially if there's the opportunity to do so. But it was becoming an idol. Correct. Over the Lord's relationship with me. And it can't ever, like, ministry can't take place of your one-on-one relationship with God.
Amen.
And that's something that I don't think we talk about. We've gotten better within the church. But for a long time, it was all about the doing of who can serve out the other person, as if that's a thing.
Yeah.
And the reality is, if you ask people, to be completely honest and transparent, I can bet there's a lot of them that are doing it with the wrong heart posture.
Yeah.
And that's, for me, that was where, I wouldn't say it was necessarily the wrong heart posture. It was just out of alignment. I needed to be able to rest and to know that my worth wasn't wrapped up in anything else.
Correct.
And that I was still just as much loved by God, even if I wasn't pouring out in every capacity.
Amen. And just as loved by your pastors.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think our church is good at this because there's a limit in how many serve teams you can participate in.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're in agreement that you cannot pour from an empty cup. And it's super important, you know, the way you get filled up, the way you fill up your cup is by spending time with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are running around doing ministry work constantly, but not spending that time with Jesus, you are doing it for the wrong reasons. It's the alignment is off.
Yeah. And I would actually also challenge you that if you are being led by distractions more often than not, you're avoiding something.
Yeah.
And for me, that was true. There was a lot of things that I was running from instead of surrendering to the Lord. And He doesn't ask us to suppress. He asks us to surrender it to Him. And you can't do that without sitting with Him. And so for me, it became, I had to desire that healing and the fulfillment from Him more than I did from other places.
Yeah. Yeah. To seek Him first.
Yeah.
The running and the distractions, when we moved to our current house, it's a beautiful, beautiful home. And I was talking to my friend one day and I was telling her all the places I was going with the kids. She was like, "You just bought a beautiful home and you are never home. You are constantly taking them places. Like, why are you doing that?" I was like, "I don't know. I don't know."
Mm-hmm.
And when I really spent time and like sought the Lord about why am I running around so much, it was literally because when I was younger, growing up, we were constantly doing things to get out of the house, to get away from my dad, right? Because when my dad was home, it was a very toxic environment. So my mom had us doing a million activities. We were never home. And like, that was normal to not really spend restful time at home. And from that revelation, to be able to sit and enjoy my home and enjoy my family and enjoy the peace in my home, it's glorious. God is so good to reveal things, and there's healing in that, right?
Yeah, totally.
That I don't need to be running around.
Right. Yeah. And the fact that He, in His goodness, He's going to meet you in that place.
Amen.
My brain just went two different places, but I'll go with the first to continue what you were saying. I think, my kids have totally, we've started to change language around being home, because there was a lot of reasons, I guess, that we would want to get out and go do things. But we began to, our youngest really taught us this because she's definitely a homebody, but she would ask for a rest day. And being able to identify it as such, like everyone else knew, like, we're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, we're here, we're together, we're spending time together. And so I think for us, it took a little bit of pressure off from like the Sabbath, because you say that and everybody, The kids are like, wait, what? And, you know, I mean, we'll get there eventually. But even for us, if that's not what we're used to, trying to, there has to be grace, right, on that transition into creating that as a rhythm of our life. But it's become a rhythm for us that if we're on the go more than 2 or 3 days, there's a rest day.
Yeah.
And there has to be. And it's non-negotiable, and I'm not taking you places. I'm not going to like run errands and do whatever.
Yeah.
We're home.
Yeah.
And it's been so, it's given everybody permission to just be.
Yeah.
And it's so freeing. Yeah. And now I lost my train of thought about what else I was going to say. If that's all right, it'll come back.
So in Exodus 14:14, it says, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. And the Lord really revealed to me that to be still takes practice, especially when hell's licking your toes, right? Because as humans, we want to fix it. We want to manipulate it. We want control over it. And just like any other aspect of our lives, you need to practice it. And it's not for perfection, but it's for progress, right? So you'll get better at being still and having rest when you practice being restful and being in the Lord. So this way, when everything starts to shake around you, you're not stressing out. You're seeking the Lord because he's your place of rest.
Yeah.
And in that comes the revelation and the breakthrough that you need.
Right.
Because the more you meddle with it, the farther you're going to get away from the answer.
Yeah.
Right. And then, you know, a whole repentance happens, and I'm not speaking from experience or anything, you know, but like, then you have to go back and repent and say, God, I'm sorry. I tried to do it in my own strength. Please help me, because I messed it up even more. And thank God for God. He is so gracious to come through when you ask him. But if we just learn to do it right the first time and go to God and rest, he will provide.
Yeah. And it's so interesting because for me, the Psalm 37:5 says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act.
Amen.
And it goes hand in hand of, it's putting your trust in him that he desires to move on your behalf.
Amen.
And actually, you had posted a video on social media, and it was in regards to your dad and your relationship with him. And your question that the Lord had asked you was, if you didn't ever stop loving your dad, who did you stop loving? And the Lord recently asked me the same question. And I bring this up to say that you also have to believe that you're worthy and the Lord showing up for you.
Yes. Yes.
And so for the longest time, I would meddle in things because I thought that's the only way it was going to happen. Because if I didn't do it, he's not going to show up. Like, who am I to him? And it was the love for myself that I was lacking in order to have faith that he cared about me.
Yeah.
And of course, like, our faith comes from the word, but that has to, at some point, it has to go from like that head knowledge to our heart, and and knowing that who he's talking about in his word, it includes you. Us. Yeah. Right? It's not just everybody else.
Correct.
It includes us.
And one of the things that helped me with that understanding is that I would take the words in the word and put my name in it. Right. The Lord will fight for Liz.
Right.
Liz needs only to be still.
Right.
And sometimes that's the key to getting it from your head to your heart, knowing that you're the child that God wants to come rescue. He's, all the things in the word are to protect you and to help you. They're not rules to make your life suck or to trip you up.
Right.
There's suggestions, as you would suggest things to your child to keep them safe and healthy and whole and happy.
Yeah. I think that's one of the biggest things for me was being able to put myself and my children, like as a parent, right? How am I looking at my kids and realizing that even in an even greater capacity, that's the way he's looking at us because he's perfect. We are not. And so that's where, for me, I had to, get to that place of knowing that even if I messed up, he's not distancing himself away from me. I might be putting things in between him and I, right? But being rooted in that love and knowing and understanding that that can't be shaken and can't be removed regardless. Again, it says it in his word, right? We cannot be removed from the palm of his hand. And what that truly looks like for us personally was you just, and it's meditating on the scriptures too, right? Not just reading them once and moving on,
right?
But actually sitting in them and being able to acknowledge that they are the truth, whether we've seen it in our life personally or not yet.
Right.
It's, I think that's the other part too, is I know we talk about like the Lord delivering us from things. And oftentimes part of the reason we feel unseen by him is because we're still in the same situation that we've been asking to be delivered out of. But the reality is his timing is perfect and he sees the big picture and we can only see a portion of that. So even those of you listening where you're like, but I'm in this space where if I don't do something, I feel like I'm going to be here forever. He is so much greater and he is waiting so often for us to surrender it over to him. One of the things he said to me was, if you believe that I'm loving you out of a place of obligation, or out of a place of anything that's beyond just the pure love of the Father, then him answering me in that mindset is affirming the lie.
Yes.
And so I had to surrender that over so that I don't want him affirming this my poor mindsets.
Yeah.
And if he answered the way I thought he should, then that's exactly what he would be doing, is I would be in bondage. Because my fleshly, humanly self thinks that it should be done in a certain way, in a certain capacity, or that I did it in some way. Because that puts, again, another burden on us that he is trying to remove.
Right. And God cannot lie.
Right.
So he's not going to. Yeah. That's so good. So good. So just to recap a little bit, rest is a gift from God. It allows for that spiritual and physical renewal. And that renewal allows you to better serve God and others. So taking time to be with God and rest is not putting you behind.
Right.
It's supercharging you to be more efficient and effective in your future endeavors. It makes you connect with God. And be mindful of God's provisions and trust that you're in his care, right?
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing in regards to the provision aspect of that, is he already knows what's to come. And so when we're spirit-led in that way, it's also trusting that however he's leading us is going to result in exactly what's supposed to be. And it's the relinquishing of control oftentimes that tends to be the most difficult, but it's so healthy.
Yeah.
So healthy.
So we encourage you. This is your doctor's note to rest this week.
Okay.
And it's truly life-changing. And it will break generational garbage off your family for your kids to see you rest.
Yeah.
And it's not being lazy to sit in your recliner with your Bible and snuggle up with the Lord.
Yeah. And for practical application, I encourage you, like, start out your day by writing down the things that you would like to get done. But then asking the Lord what's his priority for you.
Yeah.
And oftentimes that looks like, and for those that don't know, maybe you've never heard the voice of God before. It's a lot of your inner voice, but it's that knowing. It's what gives you peace.
Yeah.
And maybe you have to rework the list until you get to that place of peace where you know, like, nope, this is, and if it doesn't get all done, then so be it. But trusting that you're going to accomplish and you're going to be exactly where you're supposed to be, as long as you're being led by Him.
Amen. Thanks for joining us.
See you later.
Thanks for joining us. I pray this podcast blessed you. You can check us out at redemptionstoryministries.com and purchase the book, The Arms of Paper Dolls, on Amazon. Always remember, God loves you.